What a great idea.
So, Spencer, since I had very little time to prepare today, running around like a chicken without a head. So, okay, the guys gave a suggestion. So, okay. And what do we do next week? I don't know. You mean the guys had come up with another good suggestion?
Show them
part two.
Show them part two. I don't know. I need that to Rabbi Brigida.
Oh, have you spoiled that
much? Rabbi Brigida, that shy in part two.
Rabbi Kleinemann and Rabbi Winter.
Okay. Now, but for the sake of people who are new here, even though we probably have this about every year, but there are some people who are new, so just to review the basics. What is Shaivavim? So there's a halacha. It's a brought down, not in the Mishnah Brura, really, but he does mention it. In the end in the Mishnah Brura, if you look on the very last Mishnah Brura on the page, he says, Ura inyan tainis shal Shaivavim tat. I am bir heite v'shari tshuva. So he doesn't really talk about it. He says there's some kind of tainis called Shaivavim tat. So what does that mean? What is Shaivavim tat? So if you look in the let's see who we should do first. The Ber Heitev, the last four lines. Yesh Logan, the last four words in the fourth line. Yesh Logan Mishana Mubaris. That's this year, right? It's a leap year. Some people have a minig in a leap year. Likvoa tainis, to make a fast day, b'chol yom hay, every Thursday, mi parshas shovim in tat. Shovim tat is Rosh Hashanah, Shemos, ve'era, bo, tishalach, yisro, mishpatim, tshuva, tzitzana. Right, which means that there's a pasuk somewhere in, I think, Shir HaShirim, I'm not sure, tshuva banim shovim. That so the word shavibim is means like you know bottom that were went off, and it happens to be that the Rosh Davis and shavibim are the parashas. Now tat is apparently added on a leap year for some reason on a leap year because it's a leap year. During on a non leap year we don't add the tat, so it just shmos.
Tat is one again.
It's truma tzavet. So. The pasuk is shuvim banim shovim, which is just shmos va'era bo b'shalach yisrael mishpatim, and then on a leap year we add tat, which means truma tzavet, because we v'yeshar mikan parashas v'yakov b'gudei v'omer shomer yisrael, because the fast day. Okay. Okay, because of Arizal, right? The Arizal, Perusha Atayra, Sheyomim Eidu, these days, means these parshas, Shavim Tat, Misugolim, Misugol means that they are, I don't know how you translate it in English, they are what?
Auspicious.
I don't know, I think I like the English Hebrew word better. I know more like that, that means. But okay, it means that they lend itself to. They work. They there's some mystical power in it. Lisakein, to fix. Oven, the Avera of Keri. Keri is a means basically Zara of Atala. Yoyser Miko Ashana, more than the whole year, the Misanaba, the people who fast. The Chaim Asme Parsha Shmois. Sha'oz Hisko Ashiba, that's why it starts from Shmos. Because that's when the Shiva Mitzrayim started. Shenitakein, which the purpose was to fix Hakeri, the other Marishan. The Nigmar, the Parsha, Kitikna, Evan Ivri, that's Mishpatim. Okay, so just to explain what this means, first of all, it says you're supposed to fast. We, whatever, make sure no one gets the wrong idea. The Yeshiva is very much against fasting. Yeshiva was very much against fasting. We do not want guys to fast. Why? Because fasting takes away from your learning. You'll learn one word less, it's not worth it. We're Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. And if you learn one word less, be Ian, it's not worth it.
What about the Chatzais if a guy knows
no, the fasting? No, we don't hold the fasting. I'm sorry. I do not think so.
People hold the fasting, don't hold the
I don't know, but the tzad is that the amount, the advantage that we get from fasting is yatzot schar abaseid nedarim. That is the, obviously, it's probably a machlokes between the litvisha paiskim and the mikubalim, but we're not the mikubalim. So maybe the mikubalim had their own shitas. And including in, you know, what they, and what, but the litvisha world did not hold a fast. I didn't hear with you the comments. I'm sorry. It's all right. No, I'm Machria that we do not fast. Please, no fasting. But even though there's no fasting, it's mikubal in the world, especially those who are in Eretz Yisrael. They know, they make a big deal on this, that during the weeks of Shavuot, without fasting, they talk, and what's mikubal also, it says only with fasting, but the world extends it to working without fasting. It also says that it's a fix the avera of carry. But in the world, it's not limited just to avera carry. I assume the world knows what they're talking about. In the world, in the present day world, and in seeing in the Sfarim, they learn that it works. It's a mesugah for all averas that relate, have any connection to the family of carry, which means all in Eretz Yisrael, they're very often during Shavim they learn Hilchos Nida for married people. It's so anything in the topic, pornography, hirurim, obviously, you know. Not proper socializing, whatever it is, it seems to be accepted that even though the Arizal said particularly carry, which we'll see, there's a reason why he said that, but it's lived after. Anyway, so that's what Shoivim. Shoivim is apparently that for some mystical reason, which you got to be a Mekubal to understand why, but he explained why, because if you don't know if you people quote it, is there's a certain weeks are there's a concept of tshuva, but even though there's a concept of tshuva, not every day is equal when it comes to tshuva. And obviously you have Elo, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is easier to do tshuva than all year. So for some mystical reason, it's easier to do tshuva on the Avera of Keri during these 6 weeks or whatever it is, than even during Elul, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. That's what he seems to be saying.
What does he say that's better than
Elul
and Rosh Hashanah?
I mean, he says that sounds that way. Goes to Mikol Hashanah. Okay, I can't pronounce. But more than the rest of the year. Right? Kol Hashanah, Pashas means Elul.
He's talking about doing Tshuva for previous stuff or not doing it in the future?
No, it's not doing Tshuva. It's Sigodim Lisakein. Lisakein means to fix. The fix is a form of tshuva. Fixing really is not exactly tshuva, but it's you're fixing the avera. But it's the same thing. By fixing the avera, fixing the avera.
It's not more misugo to not do this.
No. It's a misugo to fix. Fovim is a time that there's a time in the year that for some mystical reason, when you do an avera, there's a thing called tshuva, right? But there's a thing called tikkun. Tikkun is a form of tshuva. Tikkun means that somehow or another you're able to remove to fix it. Let's say I stole. So if I can return what I stole, so then there's no avera because I fixed it. So it's another way of doing tshuva. You do tikkun. Tikkun is a way. Maybe it also needs tshuva with it. I don't know if you just return the gnei without doing tshuva, but it's a shortcut of tshuva. Right? When you do tikkun, you don't need as much tshuva. It forgives you because you fixed it. And Shari Tshuva says, for example, if I do a chiddush Hashem, so you can fix it by doing a kiddush Hashem. If you spoke lashon hara, so then you correct the lashon hara. Say, oh, you know what I said yesterday? I didn't really mean it. You know, so you can. There's a certain thing called tikkun. So for some mystical reason, again, I don't know. We'll try and explain. He says that these days are able to be the sacking, the oven of carry. You say, how do you fix it? I don't know how you fix it. But by doing your tshuva, whatever, during these days, it's misaken the oven they carry, and therefore you get forgiven because it's misaken. And it seems like he's saying that al pi kaboa, as far as tikkun, in other words, tikkun is a, and I hope I'm being clear. There's a normal system. You do an aveira, you do tshuva. You killed someone, right? There's a guy that gets on my nerves, right? So I go ahead. There's one guy. One guy again, right?
I mean, he's worse than me.
Yeah. So the guy gets on my nerves. So I go ahead and I chas him, I kill him. Now, I don't have the ability to bring to tikkun. I can't bring him back to life. But you can do tshuva. So tshuva works without tikkun. But there's another system. What? I don't know. But tikkun makes that you don't need as much tshuva. Tikkun makes it's a shortcut. Tikkun makes that you undo the aveira somehow. And then, what?
Get out of jail free card?
It's not a get out of jail free card. No, no, no. It's tikkun is a logic. You fix what you did, the damage.
What's the logic here?
What?
What's the logic here?
I don't know, but we don't understand mystical thing. Tikkun means that there's a certain thing that if you did something, if you undo what you did, then the aveira is much more diminished. So if I made a chilul Hashem, there's a certain mystical when you're Maitzi Zera, the reason why it's talking about carry, the reason why it's an aveira is not because of certain mystical things that are happening when you're Maitzi Zera. Regretfully, I'm not able to tell you what is happening. But there's some mystical things that happen, right? It's not the physical thing that because the Zera went out. That's not just it. It's a mystical significance of that Zera going out. So now, in the mystical world, there are ways of fixing that result. When you're Maitzi Zera, you created something. We'll see. Well, maybe we'll read the Orach Chaim and we'll explain a little bit more.
What's the fix, though?
You can fix it by removing what you did.
I don't know how.
What are the actions that move it?
Right, we'll see. But the action is by being sincere. He says by fasting, maybe by davening, by making an effort, not by doing tshuva. So, but it's working through a system of tikkun. By learning, for example, the Chayim Velaz says a learning is a tikkun because it adds kedusha. So this is tumah, this is kedusha. So there's a way. But the way the world understands this is that for some reason we don't understand the mystical things, but the maisa, the practical understanding is that tshuva and working on this topic at this time of year is the best time. It doesn't make sense because Elo is the best time and Rosh Hashanah is the best time and Yom Kippur is the best time. So I'm saying the answer is because Elo, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur are the best time for tshuva. But here, you're coming from a different angle. You're coming through tikkun. We don't understand what tikkun is, so the tshuva makes a tikkun, but it's a different system, right?
Rabbi's not saying that if I work on it now, there's more likelihood that I'll be able to stop.
No, I'm not into it stopping. I'm not talking about stopping. I'm talking about fixing the aveira of the path. We're not talking about that. Now, obviously, you're getting to a... I wanted to read the Orach Chaim and show off my knowledge of Kabbalah. But it will answer your question. It's a very, very important point. And I want to say it differently, but I want to get to this. But yeah, I gain a Gaini's point. It's not from in my share. That's why I gain Gaini. Anyway, and he also stumped me today with Akasha. Ooh, boy.
Oh.
Anyway.
Oh,
the Maisha, like this. One second. There's a very big svara not to give a Musar Vat on this topic. Why not? Because we said many, many times that the Reshiva held, and it's not just Reshiva, that the biggest problem of every problem is being depressed or unhappy. Because that's the biggest problem, the source of all evil, the source of all problem. Because when a person is happy, he is energized and he learns well. And when a person walks around gloomy, then his brain doesn't work. He's depressed, can't get out of bed. He's overly tired. And even if he's not depressed, so depressed is like extreme, but there are levels, right? So we said that you want to be happy. This happiness is the main thing. Now, the problem is, if you work on this area, very often people have extremely strong yetzeharin this area, especially at this age of your lives, when you're a young bucker, because this is the hardest age. It's what I told someone, you know, that recently, that says by Yosef, Chazal say that there was a Matronusa that asked, how is it possible to be the story of Yosef true? He was 17 years old. So the Gemara says that they show, you know, whatever. But the Maisa, it's smashed from the Gemara that when you're 17, which means your teenage years, it is extremely hard to pass this Nisayon. So the Maisa, many, many teenagers, and even older than teenagers, have extremely strong Yetzirah. And when they work on this, they don't succeed that much. So Memele, they get depressed. So, and now comes the story. So what did you accomplish? Instead of getting accomplishing, you didn't accomplish because you're working on such a hard Yetzirah, so it didn't, sometimes you don't succeed. And if you succeeded, good. But what if you didn't succeed because it's too hard of Yetzirah? And then all you got, the guy is depressed. So Rabbi Luban, you're blowing it, right? You're making guys depressed. Better forget about this topic. Don't talk about this topic. Let guys be nixshum. Don't be thinking about it. And they won't be depressed, and they'll succeed in learning. There is such a sheet out there, by the way, that holds that way. That don't talk about this topic because it's just going to get everyone depressed. But so
they're going to be depressed anyways.
What?
Aren't they depressed?
Oh, that's also true. That makes another problem. Yes.
There's
more of an sign, and I mean, focus on. So where Mamish doing accomplishing? Yeah, I think it's a good start. So the whole thing is where Mamish blowing it.
So we asked
for
Phil David, and he said we shouldn't listen to that
son. Yeah. So I'm saying, but what's the last thing? So I want to try and answer it. Okay.
I didn't know what he meant by.
Okay. So let me. Can you people? You are you?
Aren't you gonna be depressed anyways?
So but you get more depressed. So the important thing to know before we start this whole conversation is, you cannot get depressed. If you're working on it, you shouldn't get, because first, even, let's say a person keeps track of how often he's nixshon, whatever he's nixshon. Because everyone's nixshon in different things, but okay, so we can't say. But a guy's nixshon, whatever he's nixshon, and he knows he's nixshon X number of times a week, okay? Now he decides he's working on it, and guess what? He's nixshon the same amount of times a week. So why shouldn't he get depressed? So, because he accomplished a great deal. What did he accomplish?
He didn't get worse.
He didn't get worse. Right? In other words, the nature of life is that a person is addicted to smoking. You go from one cigarette to two cigarettes to three cigarettes to four packs to five packs, right? Because after a while, you need more of the same thing. So, the assumption is that by working on something, it usually, and even if you didn't get better, you at least stopped you from getting worse. Now, Nelson said, what happens if I what? Okay, what?
A lot of times you don't have to work on things.
Okay, but sometimes I think you can assume that you probably, if you stayed the same, it's very possible that you might have gotten worse. So Baruch Hashem, I can feel good about myself that my working helped me from not getting worse. But what happens if you actually got worse? Not even worse, you know, we'll make it the bigger. I'm working on myself, and now, and then Nelson said, because I'm working on it, so I got worse. So now I'm going to really get down. So even then, you shouldn't get down. Why not?
Because it didn't get even worse.
What?
It could have got worse.
Yeah, that's one answer. But there's another answer, because you tried. In other words, it's not, if by definition, it's not worse. Because there's quantity and quality. And that's a major, you say it in everything in life. We in this yeshiva believe in quality over quantity, right? Ian over Bikias. So it's the same thing with Averis. It's not the question of how many Averis you do, it's the quality of the Avera. Right? Which means that if you do an Avera, if you try not to do an Avera and you're nichshol anyway, so the Avera is much, 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 much less than if you just go ahead and just don't try to avoid the Avera. Because there's a Gemara, for example, it's an extreme case, but it's the same idea. There's a Gemara in Ksuvos that says that a woman who's Mizane Berutzen, Dachers her husband, was usher to her husband. Right? That's a Saita. Right? People learn Saita about it in Yevamos a little bit. That a Saita is usher to her husband. So if she's Mizane Berutzen, she's usher to her husband. If she's someone with Ma'anes her, she's not usher to her husband. So the Gemara has a case in Ksuvos. What if someone was Ma'anes her? She was not totally not Berutzen. And then someone came to save her, and she said, hey, well, don't save me. I'm enjoying this. So is she also to her husband?
No.
So there's a daya, and he said, I'm not sure we pass halach and a maisa. But Shmuel, or Vuad the Shmuel, I think, was said, she's not usher, because she's partially ines. Because once the person started, then she didn't want to enjoy it. She got forced on her, and now she couldn't help herself but from enjoying it now. So there's such a concept that even if you have rotzen, there's a rotzen which is an einistic rotzen, right? The Yetzirah makes me rotzen. I don't want to have that rotzen. Okay, it wasn't just a great example, but okay, be good enough. In other words, so the point is that if a person works on the topic and he's nitchel, it's a million, 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 and probably a few more million times better than if he's nitchel without working on the topic.
Well, because it makes him more
honest. Because you're not. I tried. I said I couldn't help because I have such a big Yetzirah. Now, maybe I could have really, if I was a super, super tzaddik, I don't want to say I'm an einus gomer, but I'm three-quarters einus, 75% einus. We don't believe anyone's an einus, because obviously, if a person, Moshe Rabbeinu would not be nitchel, if Chaim Kanetsky would not be nitchel, a person, if he was a real tzaddik, would not be nitchel. But if you try, and you're nitchel, so that means that you're a quasi-einus. If you don't try, then you're not an einus at all. So by trying, even if you don't accomplish, you're changing the nature of the avera to a level of einus to some extent, quasi einus. Right? Quasi is my favorite word. Right? So it's a quasi einus, and a quasi einus is a major difference. So you've accomplished a great deal. The fact that I want to stop, and I'm trying to stop, and I have a very strong Yetzirah, and I'm weak in my willpower, because I'm a wimp, okay, and I shouldn't be such a wimp, but I'm a wimp, and okay, I didn't stand up. Okay, but so even if, we can't start this conversation unless you have this basis, because otherwise, I'm just going to get there will be some people, hopefully will be successful. But some people that might not be successful, no matter what happens, if you try, you can't get depressed. Because the fact that you're trying, by definition, you succeeded just by trying.
Rabbi's not addressing all the concern. The fact that when you talk about it, it's more and more.
So that's, I was not talking about that. Yes, the answer to that is, but I can't talk about everything at once. Is that we said this many times? Is that Rashiva said, you said that there are two different types of averis that people do in this realm. There's averis of hirhurim, and there's averis of actions, right? Person goes on the internet and watches pornography, he's doing an action. Averis of Ihurim is just purely in the brain. So he said, Shimon said that when you tell a person not to think about something, it just makes him think about it more. Because if you tell him, don't think about a pink elephant, oh man, I don't want to think about that pink elephant, I don't want to think about that pink elephant. So it's on your mind, then you're more likely to think of it. So avoiding Ihurim It is not healthy to walk around and think, I do not want to think about it. And and this is a point, that the more you talk about it, the more you encourage your hurim, and therefore that's not the way you stop your hurim, by thinking about how I don't want to think about it. The way you stop your hurim is by creating distractions, and distracting your brain, so that your brain is preoccupied. A brain who is preoccupied doesn't come to hear hurim. If you're busy learning, you don't have to hear him. If you're doing something, if your brain is occupied, but for actions, then the fact that you tell yourself you don't want to do something is very helpful for actions. So we're discussing actions at this point, not hear him. Hear him is a whole different topic. How to stop hear him, which is a much harder topic. But for stopping actions, then it is healthy. I tell you, I don't want to go and watch pornography. I don't want to be doing that.
I'm not going to cause your hurim.
What? No, because the hurim is something else. I don't think so. You're thinking about the I don't want to do that action. I don't want to do I don't know. Maybe you said, but you're stopping the action, which is a much bigger problem than the hurim. So the only way to stop an action is by telling yourself, I don't want to do the action. The example that Rashiva used to give, he used to say that there were people, Rashiva was a little bit dated. Rashiva was a little dated. Most of his examples were in World War II, but once in a while we give an example from the Vietnam War. But, you know, so in the Vietnam War, there was the Vietnamese used to capture American pilots. And then they would torture them, and they would have them come on television and admit to all the atrocities that they did. Now, I don't understand the psychology of the Vietnam, why they thought that was worth anything. Like, everybody knew that the only reason why this pilot's getting up and saying, I hate my country is a bunch of murderers, we murder women and children, I bombed, you know, everyone knew that he's only saying that because they tortured him to say it. So why would they care? What's the political value of having a guy saying something when everyone knows he's been tortured? But it's a schmooze. But that's what they used to do, and the people used to get up and do that. But they were known to be a few people that even though they were tortured for years and years, they did not do that. Who was one of those people that never did that? Come on, you people should know. I don't remember anymore because I don't remember names. There was a famous senator. Was it McGovern?
McCain, maybe.
There was a very... He was captured, and he spent years in prison, and he never... as much as they tortured him, he never did it. So the Rashiva used to say, you see a schmooze, that shot is that... If an action, they can torture you and torture you and torture you. But if you don't want to do an action, you don't have to do an action. You control your body. Your brain, maybe, I can't stop my brain from thinking. I can't, maybe if something's in front of me, I can't stop my eyes from seeing it. You know, you can't stop your ears from hearing something. Even though the Chafetz Chaim somehow was able to, but a normal person, you know, if it's there, you see it. But an action to move your lips, to say something, to move your hands, you can't say, I couldn't help myself, I had to do it. Because he says, I was tortured. My Yetzirah was torturing me. So that's what he says. You see from, what is it, McCain? That you can be tortured, and if you don't want to do it, you don't do it. So that was one of the things that he used to say. The line he used to say to Shiva is, are you a man or a mouse? If you're a man, so then you tell yourself, I don't want to do this action. I don't want to do this action, so I'm not doing it. Well, I have a very, very big Yetzirah. I want that cigarette, right? We'll make it something else. But if you're a man, you decide you're not going to smoke, or I want my Hershey chocolate bar, right? If you're a man, you say, I'm not eating chocolate, that's it. Right? So you have to be able... So that was a very... So when it comes to actions, the hashkafa is that this is very healthy for actions. It's not necessarily healthy for your hurim. Hurim is a different shmooze. Different shmooze. You have to get a different shayv in the speech for Heora. It's about actions. People that are nitcho in actions, they're the what?
What does that have to do with shayvim? I thought it was about tshuva.
Shayvim is you're misaking the Averis. But the way you're misaking the Avera, it seems to be what's accepted in the world. Again, I'm not a Mekubo, is by stopping in the future and feeling and doing tshuva on the Averis is misaking all the Averis that you did in that area. So if let's say I went ahead and I was nitcho in pornography, or I was nitcho in looking at things I shouldn't look at, or nitcho in being Maitzi Zara, Biadai, and whatever, or something, so, or Ihurim, you know, or Kari, whatever it is. So by working on not being nitcho in that Avera, I am somehow or another being misaking the previous Averas that I did. And therefore, it is recommended that during the Shaivavim, you do that.
What?
You're not getting special siyat d'shmayim
beating
it. You might get special siyat d'shmayim to beat it. I don't know.
It says
that you get special siyat d'shmayim to giving misaking the past. Okay, I can't tell you about beating it in the present. I don't know.
Or the
I do not know. But you know. But anyway, basically, the reason why we like to mention this is because in most things, especially again, we're talking about actions, what you need is more motivation. The more, now it's not, again, it's not guaranteed, but the more motivation a person has, the reason why McCain, right, was probably able to withstand the torture and other people didn't, is because he was probably more motivated, right? I assume so. So when a person is more motivated, then he's able to be more successful. So the question is, you got to get yourself more motivated. So one of the ways of getting yourself more motivated is knowing that these next few weeks are the best time. Right? This is a great way of motivating ourselves. And when you know Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, part of why people do Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is because they're motivated. It's a special day. So if I tell myself that, listen, I have a special 6 weeks, so then that should act as a motivation to work on it, and the motivation is part of what we're missing. We're missing to some extent. The reason why, again, I can't say only, because it could be that the Yetzer is so strong that even with more motivation we're not going to win, but it could be that the reason why we're losing is because we're not motivated enough. And therefore, if we were more motivated, maybe we would win, or we would win more. Maybe we wouldn't win all the time, but we would win more of the time. So Shaivavim is a great, besides, it, like, it becomes like Edo. Edo is a double thing. Edo is, we believe the Kapara is better, or Yashana, but also it's a great way of motivating yourself to do Tshuva. So the same thing is true with Shaivim. Shaivim has an advantage. It has a mystical advantage that it lends itself, but besides which, it motivates us. Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to say, well, I wanted to read this Orach Chaim, but I see I don't have time, so I'm going to read it. Skip it. You people can read it yourself if you want.
Please, Rabbi.
I wanted to do something else. Okay.
Do everything.
We'll do everything.
We are the minion.
Yeah, there's 70 guys here. Maybe we should be fine.
Okay, what do you mean? In the Orach Chaim, this is in the, he says in the paragraph Urahaskil. Urahaskil al Dover. The fourth paragraph, third paragraph. To understand the Indian. Akten Imre Kodesho Rashbi. Right, who's the Rashbi? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. This means the Zohar, right? So he's calling the Zohar. Anshei Saido, and the people of his secrets. Sha'amru, Kitam HaGadus. Why did we have to go into Gadus Mitzrayim? Hudavayir Helke HaKedusha is to search out, to separate the pieces of Kedusha, Hamufuzarim, that is scattered, Ba'anfei HaKlipa, that in the leaves of the Klipa. Klipa is an expression, Klipa means a shell. The shell is the dead, is usually something dead. It's not, you can't eat a shell. It's not like the fruit, it's dead. So the Klipa, fingernails, are your Klipas. Here is also dead, it's a Klipas. So the dead parts of the Klipa, mystically, is that on the part that's alive is Kaddish. And on the body that's Kaddish, there grows also tummy parts. That's why the fingernails, when you cut them, are tummy. Because there's a tummy things, because just like fungus, or I don't know that was called, grow on a tree, that they, you know, that fungus, that's called, or mushrooms, they grow on, they live off the living thing, and then they attract dead things that can't live on themselves. So they attach themselves to the living thing, and they steal the energy of the living thing to themselves.
Parasite.
Yeah, right. So the klipa grabs onto the. That's the mush of a klipa. The klipa is a kayach atuma, which grabs onto divrei kedusha. So the fingernails and the human is like your klipas, in that sense. That's where the. Okay, and here too, that's why the two parts of body, if a woman covers her hair, I'll say about a man, but okay, when you cut your hair, you have to wash hands too. So there's some kind of thing there. The key, what it means like this, keep it Mitzriim, bioso melea glulim. Mitzriim, the Mitzriim was full of avodah zara. Hisham toikev atuma. So there was more tuma in the world than Mitzriim than anywhere else in the world because of all the avodah zara that was existing in Mitzrayim. Therefore, Sham Hin Shvias Chelkei HaKedusha. Therefore, there was captured, we're talking about the captives, right? There was captured the Kedusha. Harabim Vatsumim, great and quantity and quality. Right? In other words, there's Kayach of Kedusha that are scattered in the world, which were captured by the Kayachas Atuma.
They attract each other?
So the Kaychas Atumah captured these Kaychas Atumah, where since Mitzrayim had the strongest Kaychas Atumah, so they were able to capture all these scattered Kaychas Akudusha. Now, where were these Kaychas? Let's keep on reading.
Is that a point?
One second, yeah, I assume so. But that's a Vishamta Atumah. Shami Shvias Chalki Akudusha Rav Atumah. The erech goes to atuma because based on the strength of the tuma, yeah, be careful, chalke kedusha. That would be proportionate to that, would be the amount of kedusha that it was able to capture. And it's also, if you see a mushroom that's really growing well, you know that it must have a really good living source to grow on. Vizel, yeah. So where does kedusha come from? That got trapped. Miyoyim shechata adam arishin, because when adam arishin did a chait. Shalta Shifcha Ra, so the Shifcha Ra, that's an expression. The Shifcha Ra means a bad power, it's a bad maid. Bin Nitzutzei HaKedusha, in the Nitzutzes, the sparks of Kedusha. Right, what happened? It says in the Chazal, this is what, you know, you put the two together, what it says here, that Adam Arishin went ahead and ate from the Eitz HaDaas. What did he do because he ate from the Eitz HaDaas? He went ahead and he did tshuva. And his tshuva was that he separated himself from Chava for how long? 130 years. Thank you. 130 years. But the Chazal say that during that 130 years, not maybe even Ba'ines, but not Beratzen, Ba'ines, so that the body, the human body, by definition, produces Zera. So Zera went out. So normally if Zera comes out, it's not your fault. So there's nothing to it. We don't get, a person should never feel any guilt if he has a, what's it called, a wet dream? Zera comes up, because it's your total onus. Rabbi Trapper used to say just the opposite. If a person has Zera comes out at night, he should be happy, because first of all, there's no Aveira, and now have less of a Yetzer Hara, because part of the Yetzer Taiva is because his body the zera is in his body and it's pushing to come out. So that's what parashri makes a taiva.
The less you do something, the less you feed it.
Okay, but your mechaber used to say that you don't know that you can. You should just assume that zera came out because it's natural. Even if you do nothing, zera comes out by itself because the body keeps on by itself produces the zera. And therefore, if anything, you should be happy it came out naturally without any avera. But by other Marishan, and it is Madrega, since it was in a sense his fault because he was parish from his wife, he was married, and he didn't have to be have zera. He could have been with his wife. So that zera was a shtickle chate, and it created, and since in other Marishan with such great Kedusha, so every if his zera was potential people, so there were powers of Kedusha coming out. But since it was coming out improperly, because he was supposed to be really having relations with his wife, so that sent Kleach HaTuma into the world. That's what he's saying.
Maybe Adam did the wrong thing?
What?
Did Adam do the wrong thing?
Maybe at that point it was the right thing, but it's still, since it originally was the wrong thing, so he's still there's some chaitin now, because he shouldn't have been the Tzadas. So anyway, so what happened is, so Adam Arishan sent out Kedusha into the world, but it was since it was sent out in an improper manner, so it was able to be captured by the Kayachas Hatumah, and they were captured in Mitzrayim. The Enei Kol Yisrael Azeh, so where the Jews go is to gather this Kedusha, and that's why we go into Godus. He says the reason why we have to go into Godus all over the world is because really this Kedusha got scattered all over the world. But the main place it got scattered...
Why is it called Kedusha?
What?
Why is it called Kedusha?
Adam Arishan Zera had a tremendous Kedusha. The Zera of a person is a potential child. So Adam Arishan Zera had intrinsic tremendous Kedusha. The fact that it came out in the wrong manner lent itself that it was able to be captured by the Kaychas of Tumah.
Mitzrayim attracted that Tumah because of the Zara.
Mitzrayim was the Makom of Tumah, so it was able to catch, yes. It was like a beach, a trap. So it captured the Kedusha. Okay, and more than this, I cannot say, because, you know, you guys aren't, you know. I don't know, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, so therefore, he says the whole reason to go into Godus, the reason why Kleister have to go into Godus all over the world is because they have to catch the Kedusha scattered all over the world. But the main place was to go to Mitzrayim. Once, I think we're basically reading, once they left Mitzrayim, they cleaned Mitzrayim out of all the Kedusha. So that's why, the Orchai said, I'm skipping to read, you read the rest yourself. That's why there's an isser to ever go back to Mitzrayim. Right?
They brought it with them.
Because there's no reason. Everywhere else, you go to America, you got to get the Kedusha from America. You got to go to Australia, catch the Kedusha of Australia. Got to go to South Africa, you got to catch it. What?
Isn't there a law you're not supposed to Eretz Yisrael, you have no reason.
I didn't say to leave Eretz Yisrael, but the reason why Hashem made Klai Yisrael go into Godus is because we have to get the Kedusha from all over the world. But once you live in Godus, there's a halacha in the Torah, you're not allowed to go to Mitzrayim. Not allowed. Even though the question is the Rambam lives in Mitzrayim. It's a big kasha. But the Rambam passes, you're not out to live in Mitzrayim. So it could be he was an Einas. He was in a Parshat Pshat, he was Pikuach Nefesh. They would have killed him because he was a doctor. So they may have forced him. But we don't know exactly. It's one of the big kashas. But the Maisa, there's halacha, you're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim. So therefore, the Mekubohim say, because there's no point. Because the whole reason why we're going all over the world, it's to collect the Kedusha, but there's no Kedusha left in Mitzrayim. They cleaned out Mitzrayim. Because the Dor HaMidbar, in Klai Yisrael, in the years that they were in Mitzrayim, they did a good job. Because Achrei Ken Yetzu, Rechush Gadol. And what's the Rechush Gadol? All the klipas of the Kedusha, right? Not the money, right?
Weren't they on the 49th level of Tumah?
The Rechush is...
How is it much relevant?
They were not. You want to be? You want me to? The according to the most people, yes, they were bevas achas on kedusha and tumah at the same time. So they were not. They were in many ways on a very high madrega. It was a mixed thing. They were on a mixture. They had a 49. It's like hot and cold water mixed together. So they had a certain power to pull out the kayacha tumah, and when they left Mitzrayim, the point is just like the tumah catches the kedusha, but the way to get the tumah, the kedusha, saved from the tumah is by putting a kayacha kedusha next to it, because kedusha attracts kedusha, so it's like a magnet. So the B&A Israel being in Mitzrayim, and they were Kaddish, especially the shift they got, and especially then when they went out, etc., etc. So they were able in those 210 years to pull back all the tumah, all the kedusha that was in the tumah that was captured, and when they went out of Mitzrayim, Achrei Ken Yetzo Rechush Gadol, they took out all the kedusha. And Mimeda, there's nothing for the parasites of Mitzrayim to grow on anymore. And there's no reason to go back to Mitzrayim. That's what he says that here, and he says it again in the Ora Chaim in Vayechi.
Wait, what did they do with the Kedusha?
What?
What did they do with this Kedusha?
The Kedusha, you do mitzvahs, you grow with it. You know, it's a gewaltige thing to have more kedusha. Wouldn't you like to have more kedusha?
It was in a bag, or they ate it.
No, it wasn't a bag. It was mystical. It's a mystical, like a neshama. So they pulled that. They were like Zera creates a person. So it was like an invisible person. And for every person has a neshama. So there's like this invisible person, neshama, you know, microscope. And they pulled that person. That was like you said, that they were 600,000. They were people on at Har Sinai. I don't know. I can't answer you.
Why wouldn't Moshe want to get that?
He did, but you need everyone to do it.
Did he get the bones of Yosef?
He got the bones of Yosef too.
Nowadays, there's no kedusha for the tumah to grow.
Okay, I don't know. There's still there's plenty of tumah in this world. Here we go to Vegas. See, I got to go to Vegas.
That's why the yeshiva
opened in Las Vegas to pull out the kedusha from the klipas of Las Vegas. And that's what happened in Miami. Okay, anyway, tonight I wanted to do something else. What time is it? Okay, I did want to do, to say the general rule in working in these areas is the way it usually works is a person works and very often he doesn't get anywhere. But at some point, you get somewhere. You can't allow yourself to get frustrated because sometimes in the beginning, it doesn't go. But it very often, at some point, especially if you stick at it and you're motivated, you can be successful. The trick in it is when you're successful, then you got to keep on going. This is the famous football svara, right? Football svara, we say this every year. Is the football star is you have a guy who's playing tackle football, and every time he gets the ball, 10 big guys tackle him, and you know, it's not very enjoyable. One time he gets the ball and he's running and no one tackles him. So what does he do? So if he's not too smart, he turns around and says, "Hey, where is everybody? How come no one's tackling me?" Right? That's not very smart. The smart thing is that he broke away for some reason. And now just keep on running till you get to the touchdown, right? So that's the pshat. A large part of the Yetzer Hara's power is habit, is, well, we said a little bit, depression, is a belief that I can't do it. Many, many people walk around feeling that they'll never be successful because they were nixtal too many times already. So deep down, they don't think they can stop whatever they're doing. So the once you succeeded in stopping, so now it's much easier because you broke the habit to some extent. So if let's take the smoking. I have a habit. I smoke every day a pack a day, right? Okay. So I wake up one day and I have a very big taiva because it's a habit. And it's not just physical, it's biological, it's chemical, whatever it is. Very strong habit. But I have tremendous willpower, and I make it through the whole day without smoking. By definition, in a few days, I don't know, maybe next day, but if I do that for a few days, at some point the habit becomes weaker. The chemical need becomes weaker. And therefore, I wake up a week later, I don't have any more this same motivation I had a week ago because I broke the habit. And I broke the chemical habit, which is also a habit. And therefore, I can go in. It's easier to go the second week than the first week. Now, when I go the second week, I'm making the even weaker. And then it'll be easier to go the third week. I'm almost finished my dramatics. Okay, because so the trick is to realize that the more you succeed, the easier it's going to be. The more you can succeed, the easier it'll be. Except there's a catch. There's a catch. The catch is that the Hashem created a system that can not so easy. Is that there's always, almost always, a moment that the Yetzara comes back, full flash, which for some strange reason. And you have to be prepared for that. In other words, I quit smoking. The first week gets a little easier. Second week, great, it's easier. Now I can keep on going. Second week, gets even easier. Third week, gets even easier. Fourth week, this is easy. I can keep on doing this forever. Right? Then you go in, you're under some tremendous pressure. Your boss screams at you, I have to have a cigarette. I need my cigarette. Or you walk into a smoke room and you smell the smoke. There's something happens which acts as a catalyst, and it brings back, we call that like a flashback, right? We mentioned that. It brings back all the, and then you're hit all of a sudden with this full strength Yetzirah that you had on day one. And in a sense, you're not prepared anymore because you've been already used to easy street, and therefore you're more likely to be nifshel. So you have to be prepared that happens. But worse comes, so if you're prepared and you pass it, then you're grade off. You know? And if you flunked, you're also grade off. Because the knowledge that I was able to go 4 weeks without my cigarette makes it much, much, much easier to do another 4 weeks the second time. And the second time, I'm not going to allow myself to fool when I get, you know, that pressure.
How do you prepare for that?
Type of, like, I messed what? Up. I only see one way, meaning I'm negative now
because
I messed up once.
No, you don't get negative. That's interesting because, if you understand the psychology, you don't get negative. The psychology is it's normal that something happens that brings back, reminds you. So it brings back the, you know, you've been putting the taiva to sleep. So the taiva has been getting to sleep, to sleep, to sleep, to sleep, to sleep. And it keeps on getting weaker. But something happened that woke it up. So if you're prepared for it, so hopefully you can withstand it. And then you put it, it's easier to put to sleep if, you know, just a temporary woken up, take care of that one day, and then you'll go, keep on going. And once you beat it, then you're, you know, once or twice like that, you're finished.
No more fast.
Yeah, yes. But even if, the way most people, when I say smoking, if you speak to smokers, it's the same thing. Most people who quit smoking, they will say they first stopped for a certain amount of time, then they fell back because this happened, they got some tremendous urge, they started smoking again for a while, then they stopped again, and the second time, they were able to keep on going. Or, second time again, they fell, you know, but then the third time. But once you do it the first time, you succeed, the second time is much easier. Because it's the knowledge and I can do it. And I can do it and I did it. And now I'm more prepared also. I'm ready for that, you know, surprise attack. And then once you pass that surprise attack, then you're finished. You're fine. Okay, so I'm telling you, it shouldn't get you down because this is the normal approach that it happens. It's almost to be expected. And it puts you in a much, much better position for the future. I'm telling you from experience of talking to many people that this is the step, the prerequisite to success. The prerequisite to success in passing the Nisayan fully is to first pass for a few weeks, flung, and then pass again. So you, therefore, if that's the prerequisite, then you don't get so depressed about it. But, I don't know. I did the best on it.
How do you prepare yourself for the flashback?
Even say, like,
what?
When they know that thing, they look at the one negative thing, and they just fully focus on that, and they forget all the positive.
Okay, so don't do that. Don't do that. Anyway, that's what I was saying. So the goal is to try and get to that streak, to try and get, like you're playing the football. Ain't looking at every time you try to run, the guy tackles you. That you don't go. You keep on running. And you want to get to the time that you break through. Once you break through, you got to keep on running. That's the trick. If you try and you got tackled, so what? Try again. But eventually, hopefully, one time you break through, and then you keep on going. And then you
still
should have
let your guard down.
Can't let your guard down because there's a guy right in here in a football game. There's a guy standing in the end zone just in case you broke through to trap you over there. They put someone over there to catch you. And they trick you. And okay.
How do you prepare for the flashback?
Because you know that it's going to come.
That makes it easier.
Yeah, because you're not caught by surprise.
Rabbi, he's just saying the milus of the streak outweigh the chisaron of the streak. In other words, a streak has a very big chisaron. That if I build up, so when I fail, it hits me more.
But it shouldn't hit you more because you're it's a tremendous success. Because further, you got a tremendous success.
Yeah, but emotionally, it's very hard to feel that.
You have a tremendous success because you know that now the next time will be so much easier, and I see I can do it. So that's what you have to focus on.
So look over, Rebbe's not saying. Rebbe's saying these times when you do tshuva, your tshuva is more mikuval, and you're
yes.
And the tikkun. You could do this other aspect of tshuva of tikkun, but it doesn't mean that when I'm fighting in the sun now, I will be. It's going to make it now that I can get rid of it forever.
I do not know. It doesn't say that.
That's not what
it means. Didn't say that. I can't tell you.
Yeah. What was Ray Chopper's answer?
Of what?
Why a person should feel happy.
Because when a part of what a person, when the Zara didn't come out yet, you sometimes can feel, I don't exactly, in your body, so that creates a much bigger time if you might see Zara Batoa. So, but if it went out by itself when you're sleeping, there's no Avera. Now you got rid of the Yetzer Sahara. So you got rid of your Yetzer Sahara without doing an Avera.
Yo, Dean back.
So I can be very happy.
Is that an upshot that you actually were able to feel the taiva in a mutter way? That's not mental.
No, not because you felt the taiva in a mutter way, because you avoided.
I can't go to sleep late.
You no longer have the taiva.
We're first.
I think
that's a good one. I don't know if I'm going to do Lucas.